trying to hear can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. And by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton. Look in my eyes,
what do you see? This is the only live, local, consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. On the John P. Listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, at P. Creighton1. Brian McDonald on the other side of the glass at the desk controls. At Sacked by BMAC. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. ESPN975.com. ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975. Take us with you everywhere that you go. You know, every time I see a celebrity's name pop up on trending, my first thought is, are they dead?
We're doing this again? Are you assuming every celebrity is dead?
And
who are you trying to bury today, PC?
Trending, Bill Simmons.
Okay, so not dead?
Not dead.
Okay, well, it sounds like you're rooting for that one, Patrick.
I mean, listen, outside of the really obnoxious, you know, pro-Boston, pro-LA takes, what does Bill Simmons actually give the country? Whining? Fake hair? I mean, what does he actually bring us?
See, I haven't seen Ben Simmons. Not Ben Simmons.
That's right. Nobody's seen him either.
Yeah. I have. I completely forgot the. Why am I blanking on the name of
Bill Simmons?
Bill Simmons. Sorry, Jesus. Completely different people. But I haven't seen a picture of Bill Simmons in a long time. Does he have? Has he seen Doc Linville? What's the hair situation?
Oh,
going
yeah.
On?
Well, looking at how white and gray the hair is, but very, very full, he's had some work done. He has definitely had the work done. You know, and generally, you know, if you're insecure or if you just have the money, you go get the work done. Bill Simmons has definitely had work done. But apparently he's been back on his, like, three-hour-long podcast. Who the hell listens to a three-hour podcast?
I actually do.
Why?
Well, I don't listen to it all at once. I don't know if that changes things for you. But there's a couple of podcasts that I listen to that aren't quite 3 hours, but they're over two and close to three most weeks. One's a, and this combination might sound odd to you, but it's a true crime comedy podcast. And the other one you might actually listen to also, Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. That podcast, I mean, especially back in the day when Bruce wasn't running both Raw and SmackDown, when he had more time on his hands, that podcast would routinely go over 3 hours.
So apparently Bill Simmons, super Celtics fan and Clippers fan, cannot help but pay attention to the last place Houston Rockets, and Jalen Green is continuing to make unflattering comments about Jalen Green.
Yeah, he said his beef with Jalen Green goes back to last year, didn't he? He didn't even take some shots at Jalen Green last year?
Yeah, and it's like, bro, why are you chiming in on Jalen Green? He doesn't impact your favorite Boston Celtics, and he doesn't really impact the Clippers either. Why are you looking at the Rockets? Why do you care? And really, he's got to do the, well, you know, I love Evan Mobley, and because I love Evan Mobley, I have to hate on Jalen Green. And then, you know, it's a catastrophe. Because, you know, this is kind of how a lot of sports media is right now. For example, if something happens, or like there'll be chaos that'll happen in the NCAA tournament. And rather than the majority of hosts who will do the homework and explain, well, why did this team have the Cinderella run? Who's important? What impact does it have? It'll be, oh my God, did you see these guys? What a bunch of chokers, those losers, those clowns. That train is never late. And what all that, you know, just third grade slandering is the host telling you, I watched 0 minutes of this game. I don't know a damn thing that happened. I didn't bother to look at a bracket or read anything, watch any other games either. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to yell, these guys suck, over and over and over. Because if I yell loud enough and I repeat my exact same thing over and over again, you'll believe me. Because that's how it works. Just say the same thing over and over again. If somebody tries to correct you, talk louder. It's a theme. And a lot of people in sports media practice this when...
I might have experienced that yesterday.
You know, they don't do their homework and they don't bother to think that their homework is important. They just, hey, you know what? I'll just turn on the microphone and say dumb stuff. Skip Bayless does this on the regular.
Yeah, he's made millions doing that.
So... basically, Bill Simmons continues to say stupid stuff about Jalen Green. Then Green basically dismissed him. So he posted a tweet with some profanity in it. Then deleted it because Bill Simmons is a coward. And, you know, tried to backtrack it and walk it all back. Yeah, you know what? I feel like if Ben Simmons gets hit by Bill Simmons.
I got you doing it.
I feel like if Bill Simmons gets hit by a bus,
Rooting for the bus. Is this like the running of the Bulls where you're rooting for the
bull? Rooting for the bull.
Yeah.
Rooting for the bull. If you're dumb enough to get in the street, you get the horns.
Sounds like we need to send Bill Simmons to Paloma, Spain.
There we go.
Pamplona. Yeah, something like that.
Pamplona.
Yeah, I don't claim to be an international man. I haven't traveled very far.
If you're dumb enough to get in there with the Bulls.
Oh, I 100% with it. Did you ever watch the show back in the day, Cheap Seats?
No.
Do you remember what I'm talking about?
No.
Anyway, they did some shows. It was the ESPN Classic show where they had a couple comedians making fun of some of the ridiculous things ESPN used to air, like just like strongman competitions.
Hey, I used to watch those strongman, the guy throwing the keg over
exactly. Well, anyway, one of the times they showed running with the running of the Bulls, and yeah, the whole time you're rooting for the Bulls.
There was a video, it's an old, it's probably like 10, 12 years old, of a guy getting gored with the horn going in an exit and coming out. Like, so it went in the back door and came out the belly button.
Yikes. That's a big horn.
Big horn. Yeah, and he got it. And, like, Bill picked his head up, and the guy just lifted straight up in the air. It was, like, really gory. But I'm like, you deserve this. This is Darwin Wins. This is what that is. Darwin Wins.
Yeah, 100%. Like, this, the same thing. I feel the same thing about the people that jump into the exhibits at the zoo. If you jump into the bear exhibit and the bear meets you, then that's fine.
Darwin Wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's on you. If you try to take a selfie with the bear and the bear mauls you, I'm fine with that.
Or a lion or a tiger. Or people think polar bears are like these big, sweet.
It's because of Coca-Cola, Patrick. Coca-Cola has spent the last three generations painting polar bears as these soft, cuddly creatures that wear sweaters and little, you know, handkerchiefs and whatnot
and
around Christmas
Coke.
Time. Yeah, yeah.
Polar bears are some of the most perpetually pissed off bears that exist.
Of course they're living. Look at the temperature they live in. Of course they're pissed off. Wouldn't you be?
Okay.
You move from New York down to a better climate. You probably experience the same thing.
They're angry and they're hungry. They're also really freaking large.
Yeah, yeah. This just then, bear is large.
Bear, large.
Yes,
yeah.
Bear large.
Hey, honey, I'm going to get with the polar bear. Hey, did you make sure you paid the premium on the life insurance?
Yeah, really.
Because in about 3 minutes, I'm going to go collect. Yeah, so again, if Bill Simmons meets the speeding bus, you know, well, what is that? What's the movie where, like, death is coming for them?
Death is... you're going to have to be more...
They escape death, so then, like, all these weird accidents keep happening to kill them all one by one.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
Oh, I've seen it, like, three times. There's multiple... one, there's two, there's three. Final Destination.
Okay, yeah, I've never seen that movie.
So Final Destination, like, at the end, they think they beat it. They step out into a street. Bam! Bus!
That's...
So, yeah.
Spoiler alert, that's how the movie is?
Well, the movie's like 15 years old.
Okay,
so, you know,
all right, I guess it's
but,
fair.
But yeah, they walk out and then just, boom, speeding bus just crushes them. I was like, yes, kill them. I'm the person watching the movie. Like everybody's like hoping they somehow escape death, and I'm like, get them.
You're cheering the whole time.
Cheering for death.
Every time a character goes down, you stand up and applaud.
Every time somebody dies. Yes!
Is that just because you had action on it?
No, it's just, you know, that's just kind of how I'm wired. Like
it's kind of like a lazy ending, though. It sounds like the director and whoever wrote it, like, all the way to 10's like, all right, how do we pay off from this unique idea of death is constantly coming? Let's just wrap it up with a bus hitting them.
Like in the movie Saw, like the whole Saw series, I'm always rooting for them to die.
You're rooting for what's the name main character's name? I've only seen one Saw movie. It was the most recent one that Chris Rock was a part of, and it was terrible.
Oh, so. I didn't see that.
Yeah, I can't remember the name, but
I watched the first three.
Okay,
but I was always rooting for the person, like whatever trap they're in, to die.
Okay, that's actually fair. Like when I watch a Halloween movie, I root for Michael Myers. When I watch Friday the 13th, I'm usually rooting for Jason. So I can kind of identify with
you that. You root for Freddy Krueger. You know, you're rooting for the bad guys. Yeah, when they're in the trap.
We sound like wrestling fans who like heels more than baby faces.
We definitely heel out all the time. But yeah, I really like, what is the most gory, painful? Like there's one where they've got the person in this like medieval like chest thing, and it rips their chest wide open, and guts just go flying everywhere. And like that happened, I'm like, yes, you know, kill him.
So, have you seen the movie Cocaine Bear yet?
No, I have not seen it. But my son comes home from school tomorrow.
Okay,
it is on the weekend agenda.
Okay, good, because I feel like you will. I in that movie was rooting for the bear, and it was.
You have to root for the bear.
It's a fantastic. Well, okay, it's not going to win an Oscar, but I enjoyed the hell out of that movie. I felt a little awkward at times though, and I've had another experience like this. When I was a I guess I was probably around 20, maybe 19 or 20.
It's like 3 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so young. I'm a youth, as the people say. But I went to see the cinematic masterpiece Jason X, the 10th Jason movie, in theaters.
Right.
And me and my buddies are all into like really bad horror movies and just laughing at them. And so we went in and we were watching Jason X. And I don't know if you've seen it, but it's absolutely terrible. But it's so terrible that it's funny. And so we're laughing and having a good time, and we got kicked out of the damn theater because this old couple next to us was trying to quietly watch the movie and didn't appreciate us laughing at scenes where people fall onto a giant screw and then have another character look at him and go, well, I guess he's screwed. And for some reason, we couldn't laugh at that. And I felt the same way while I was watching Cocaine Bear. There were three or four other people there that didn't laugh the entire time, and I'm just dying laughing every time the bear kills somebody.
Were they old?
No, well, they were maybe a little bit older than me, but they weren't as old as the couple that kicked us out of Jason X.
Old people ruin everything.
I know.
They take everything so seriously.
We should take away their driver's license. We
should take away their license to live.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
Once you, like, in order to be an old person and be allowed to survive, you should have to prove that you don't have a giant stick in your butt. Because old people tend to have sticks in their butts. You know, everything is bad. Back in my day, when I was your age, you know, get off my lawn.
You never said that?
I have only said get off my lawn to one person. That's because he kept running across my lawn. And I was like, you do that again, I'm going to clothesline you. But it's about respect. You don't run across people's lawns. And then I hit him with the, when I was your age, the neighbor would have grabbed me, beat my ass, dragged me to my house, told my father what I did, and my father would have beat my ass again.
That almost sounded kind of mafia level there, like just the level of respect we have to show for other people's lawns.
It's a respect thing. You don't run or ride your bike across somebody else's lawn.
You never go against the family, and you never run across another man's lawn, Patrick.
Never rat on your friends, and always keep your mouth shut.
And don't run across the lawn.
Late is. Yes.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Christo Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey, Hey, it's that time again, the ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 5th Annual Bracket Madness, presented by Bud Light, supported by Rudy's Barbecue. We're giving away tons of prizes worth over $50 each. By the way, it's all free. Prizes include gift cards to Frankie's Italian Kitchen. Hey, I just had dinner there tonight. Mrs. and I went and got some Frankie's for the show. Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, Chewy's. It's another favorite of ours, going to Chewy's, where the quesadillas are monstrous. Burger Joint and more. Head to ESPN975.com. Register now. Bracket Madness presented by Bud Light, America's favorite light lager. Unless you're John Granato, then it's your second favorite light lager.
I think John enjoys Coors Light, if I've heard that rumor.
I think BK, it's also his second.
Yeah. He likes to drink with no impurities, no regrets, with all set.
Four ingredients.
Is that the case? I didn't know that part. I just remember the no impurities, no regrets.
So I don't know what the four ingredients actually are because I never actually brewed my own beer, but I'm going with barley, hops, water, alcohol. Those are the four ingredients.
I don't think you actually have to put the alcohol in, right? Because it doesn't the process make the alcohol?
So wheat, barley, hops, water?
I don't know. I'm not a brewmaster. I thought part of the process created the alcohol.
I am much more of a brew drinker than a brewmaster. Just, yeah, sure, I'll try that. But if you're doing one of those jalapeno beers, no. I will not drink that. I do not have a desire to drink jalapeno beer.
Are you just out on spicy food in general, or is that like a beer, or is that just a beer take?
No, I think it's just a beer take. Like, the idea of putting peppers in my beer, why would I do that?
I just wasn't sure, obviously, coming from New York. I mean, not that that precludes you from liking spice, but...
Would you put hot sauce in your beer?
No. Well, I don't drink beer to begin with, but no.
Would you put hot sauce in your vodka?
No, I wouldn't.
In your tequila?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that specific take. I just didn't know if it went further into food or if it was just on drinks.
Oh, so I didn't get to tell you this yet.
Okay.
I had my first experience with hot chicken.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like a Nashville-style hot chicken?
So it was like fried chicken, but it was hot?
Yeah, with the sauce on it, yeah.
So not with the sauce on, but it was just like whatever it was battered and had like a lot of spice and heat to it. So I went to Gus's Chicken on Kirby. Where all they make is hot. So I got the tenders. I didn't get the whole thing. But they put the same stuff on it. It was good. I sucked down like 6 Diet Cokes to get down 2 tenders. But, and each tender is like a half a breast. I mean, they're gigantic. But, yeah, 6 Diet Cokes for 2 tenders. So 3 Diet Cokes per tender. Yeah, I liked it. But yeah, I need more drink.
Yeah, next time bring some milk. That's the best way to kill the heat. Ugh. I'm just saying, I'm not to get all scientific, but water and soda like that, it spreads the heat. It not that it doesn't help at all, but it, for at least a little bit of time, will make it worse.
You
need something like bread or milk to kill it.
So they gave you a slice of bread that I was eating.
Yeah, bread helps.
But yeah, I can't do. I don't like the consistency of milk, especially whole milk. Whole milk is way too thick, so I can't do milk. And the idea of having milk with fried chicken, like, did I just go back to fourth grade where I have to have milk?
I'm not saying you got it down the gallon, but just have a little bit on the side to take sips of every now and then to kill the heat when it gets to an extreme level.
Yeah. So I don't know what it is, but like lately, I guess I'm just in the we haven't been as heavy on sports. We've had a lot more fun, and I've just been occasionally angry for no particular reason. I guess because I'm from New York, but just in general, I've just kind of been...
I was just going to say, that's general personality.
Yeah, just generally, I'm just like angry about things that...
So you transferring your sports anger to other things in your life because you don't have sports to be angry about?
I wonder if my regular anger transfers into sports because I don't need sports to make me angry. I think I wake up angry.
Sports, I mean, from the happy. Last segment, we learned you get angry about lawns. So, I mean, it sounds like you have plenty of things in your life to get angry about.
You know what? When you spend a lot of money on your damn lawn, because if you don't, the HOA comes around and finds you. Yeah, get the hell off my damn lawn, you little
bitch. Don't send me down the HOA rabbit hole. I've had enough of mine. I mean, if I didn't have my Christmas lights down by like 10 days after Christmas, I get letters in the mail.
So there is a Facebook group for my neighborhood. And literally, it is just a bitch fest of everything that somebody else is doing against the HOA. And why is nobody doing anything about it? So there is somebody a couple of blocks down from me who drives a rig. And the cab will be parked on the street, which I guess is in violation of the HOA and not allowed to have like a big rig cab. Doesn't have the trailer, just the cab. And people are on the Facebook page whining and crying and bitching and moaning and screaming bloody murder like it's devaluing their property like $100,000, right? It does nothing. It doesn't impact a single person. But everybody's bitching about it. These are the same people who bitched because at the beginning of the school year, a couple of kids threw a bottle of Dawn soap in one of the fountains going into the neighborhood and made like a giant thing of bubbles. And they basically were like, these kids should be prosecuted. I'm like, for throwing soap in the fountain? Really? You must have been so much fun as a kid. There are people who I swear, like, they probably can't walk straight because of the size of the stick in their posteriors. Everything is horrible. Everything is a crime. Every kid is terrible. It's like, can you get hit by a bus? I want a lot of people to get hit by buses.
It sounds like you have a whole list of people. I half expect to come over to your house and see something on the wall that says hit by bus list. And you have a ramp. It sounds like most of this list is made up of the HOA.
20 years ago.
And Bill Simmons.
In the, I guess, the neophyte era of online trollism. I used to have a shtick called Creighton Airlines where if whoever it was that ticked me off that day got a flight on Creighton Airlines, which was directly into the side of a mountain. And I did that shtick for like a year and a half until just too many people were threatening to like have me sight banned for all these different things. And it's like, why can't y'all just enjoy the shtick? This person's a terrible person. Let's put him into the side of a mountain. Die in a plane crash.
Yeah, there's a few HOA people I wouldn't mind being on that list.
You know, die in a fire used to be a thing. I took it to die in a plane crash.
Like, I've had several run-ins with my HOA. Like I told you, like 10 days, if you don't have your lights down by 10 days after Christmas, you get a letter in the mail. I also had a problem where, so I had to get, like, the siding replaced on my house. I get it replaced, and I didn't even ask for the company that did the work to do this, but they put, like, one, like a sign in the yard, like, you know, siding by whatever company. I don't even remember who it was. Because it's been a few years. But I didn't even put the sign up. You know, it'd been like 2 days. I saw it was there. I was like, whatever. I'll get, next time I'm mowing the lawn, I'll take it down. And next thing I know, I have a letter in my mail saying, you are not allowed to have signs from construction companies in your yard. And it's just, meanwhile, any serious problem that actually could be addressed and would improve our lives goes unchecked because they can't do anything. Our hands are tied. But they want to tell you about your Christmas lights and about construction signs in your yard.
Well, you know, Brian, Karen is walking around the neighborhood with her little notepad of everything that, this person has two weeds in their yard. Oh, that's a violation.
I also got a letter one time that my registration sticker hadn't been, or I think it was my registration sticker hadn't been updated. It had been like a week. It was like a week past, and I got a letter in my mail like, you can't have vehicles on our streets that are don't have a updated registration sticker.
Mr. McDonald, you are very lax in maintaining your vehicle records. What are we going to do about this? We may have to fine you. Yeah, these are the kind of people that, like I said, they need to be hit by a bus.
Are we just entering them into the running of the bulls and let nature take its course?
Now, is there a place, like where in Houston could we cordon off the streets and basically create, like,
running of the bulls?
Yeah, a place where we could have a
bull. Maybe that's what we do with the Astrodome. We put all the Karens in there with a bunch of bulls, and we'll see what emerges.
Now, that's an idea. Everybody to the middle of the floor.
No one else has had that idea for the Astrodome.
Everybody to the middle of the floor in the dome. If you can get out the building, you win. By the way, there's going to be like 50 bulls just running around trying to kill you. Yeah. But if you can get out of the building, you win.
If the bulls, the rats, and the asbestos don't kill you, then you get out.
I did a tour inside the Astrodome. I think it was like my first or second year here. And you had to wear a hard hat to go in, and you had to wear safety goggles, and you had to wear some kind of steel tip boot because everything is just falling down and decrepit. It's just a disaster. And there, when you walk in, you want to have your mask on because it's if the,
smell of rat pee or whatever it is.
If the asbestos doesn't kill you, the rat poop is. It's everywhere. It is so nasty. And the fact that building is still standing might be a minor miracle. It may be a miracle that building has not fallen down yet.
It's amazing how much the city has spent to keep that rat-infested building up for this long.
I think,
and I say that as someone who was born and raised in the city. It has fond memories of going to games in that stadium. Okay, I've heard 1,000 different ideas. Oh, turn it into a casino, turn it into a hotel, turn it into parking. It's just tear it down and be done with it.
I think they're afraid if they tear it down, all the rats that are in there will now go into the neighborhood. Because, well, you've taken away their home. Now they need to find a new home. What's the closest thing? NRG Stadium.
Well, that's what
they don't want rats.
Let's put the Bulls in there first. The Bulls will kill the rats. And then we let the Bulls out and we tear down the stadium.
It's like, can we, like, all right, so we're going to ask the Westminster Kennel Club, hey, we need about 30,000 West Highland White Terriers to exterminate the Astrodome. You just funnel in all these little dogs and the little terriers, Westies and Scotties, and okay, go get all the rats.
They should televise that. I'd watch that.
That would be, and then it's like, okay, now what do we do with there's 10,000 dogs still alive, and now they've all got rabies and gun. Now what are we going to do with them?
Well, now they all have a taste for blood, and they're out for more.
So let's put raccoons in there. Westie versus Trash Panda. Here we go.
You just have to keep going up the evolutionary ladder until you get to the apex predator. Eventually, there's a cocaine bear inside the Astrodome.
That would be like the final boss. Final boss. Bear high on like 6 keys. Final boss. Good luck, everybody. Like, you ever seen the movie The Running Man?
No, I haven't seen that.
All right, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Richard Dawson.
Okay.
From Family Feud, Richard Dawson.
Yeah.
So, the whole thing is it's a game show where, you know, if you're a criminal, you have to beat, like, whoever the hero is who's got all kinds of weapons and stuff that you don't have. But the idea is if you escape the maze, your sentence is forgiven.
Right. But sounds like Death Race. There's a Jason Statham movie called Death Race.
Well, there's an old movie from the 70s called Death Race. Death Race 2000. I think it starts Sylvester Stallone.
Okay. I didn't see that one. I saw one with Jason Statham in it.
Where, you know, you have to, like, run over people to get points. So they'll, like, roll people out in wheelchairs in the middle of the road trying to help them get points. So instead of running them for the easy points, he goes off to the side and runs over the people who put them there because they were more points. So the whole idea of if you run somebody over, you get points, Death Race 2000.
Sounds like something you'd be on board for.
Oh, I was... Oh, get him! Run him down! I have a very sick, twisted sense of humor. All right, we will get into your Houston Astros and what's going on with them in spring training, including those in the WBC. We'll get to it next.
You are listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Christo Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the HRMP listener line, text line, on Twitter at P. Creighton 1, at Sack by B. Mac for Brian McDonald on the other side of the glass. Get him there too. And of course, on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Time to get into the reigning, defending, undisputed world champion, Houston Astros. I know I've heard a lot of people getting all worried about which Astro isn't off to a great start, and which Astro has struggled so far in spring training, and people acting like, you know, it's July, and, you know, if they don't hit, they're not going to make the playoffs, and all this other nonsense. I mean, we're still we haven't even really hit the middle of March yet. People were actually complaining about stuff in February because, you know, what do people do other than complain? Because that train's never late. But there was a lot of concern over Jose Altuve, future Hall of Famer Jose Altuve. Because, well, you know, Altuve didn't hit so well for a large stretch in the postseason. And then he got off to a slow start in the spring where he was 1-for-10 and had a whole bunch of strikeouts. And, well, yesterday, Altuve leading off the game against his very own flesh and blood in Brandon Belak and banging him for a single in the left field before getting thrown out by Jake Myers, trying to advance on a fly ball. But then today, playing for Team Venezuela against my beloved New York Metropolitans, Jose Altuve leading off the game, very first pitch, and this happened.
Oh, and on the first pitch, Jose Altuve goes deep. He's been answering critics for a year, and he begins the game with a bang.
Just like that, one pitch, one run, bang. Didn't even need the Crawford boxes for that one, by the way. That was a home run.
Did the announcer really have to mention right there in the first sentence of the home run call, oh, he's been answering critics? Like, can we have one call of an Astro where we don't have to mention the sign-stealing scandal? We're 2023. The sign-stealing scandal happened in 2017. What year do we have to be in before we can get a Venezuelan baseball game call of a home run without mentioning this 2017 sign-stealing scandal?
2294.
Okay, so we'll all be dead by then.
We'll have to, you know what, maybe, I mean, you would think it's 2023. Somebody could have asked Hal this like 13 years ago, but, you know. First pitch, and it was not a very good first pitch for future Mets minor leaguer Jose Buto, because there was yard work. But if you didn't like that call, how would you like to hear that call en español?
Va a comenzar.
Allí la conexión a lo profundo, la bola arriba, arriba. Lo profundo, la bola arriba, arriba. Y lejos. Honrón solitario para José Altuve. Y así comienza este encuentro, comienza este episodio.
Now, I don't understand a whole lot of that, but I understand José Altuve, arriba, arriba, and y
Todd Callis to work that into his calls more.
That was a long E.
It was a long E, yeah.
A long E. But Jose Altuve with the yard work. And you know what the best part about that was? It wasn't his only home run. No, Jose Altuve would do it again, and he'd do it en español.
Y dar su opinión.
Allí el batazo hacia lo profundo. La bola arriba, arriba. Y Honrón solitario para Altuve.
Do you think he also, you know, when they call what the Venezuelans call football, do you think he does go la 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 la? Every time they score a goal?
I feel like there's a decent chance of that. By the way, I had to find out that E, at least in that last call, that E was 8 seconds long.
That's a hell of an
That's
E.
That's a hell of an E, yeah.
8 seconds eight of seconds. E. I feel like if I did E for 8 seconds, I'd be passed out on the floor somewhere with like heat stroke.
Something like that, yeah. There's a decent chance.
Heart beating 1,000 miles a minute, but you know, probably be like full, you're probably at full mast. I gotta believe if you're on E.
You've seen the Jason Statham documentary Crank, so you know how to survive in that situation.
Yes, just stay in full mast. What are we gonna do? Keep your energy high, keep all your adrenaline high, And
you got two Mountain Dews on the set there, so that's a good start.
Yeah,
that's
baby,
a good start to keep
go.
The heartbeat up.
If Mountain Dew cannot save you, you may not be savable.
I feel like you need a sponsorship with Mountain Dew. It's time Mountain Dew ponies up.
You know, Mountain Dew or
I mean, I could see them on the Twitch camera right now. They're getting run.
Look at this.
They're getting run, Mountain
Dew. This is called product placement.
Yeah, I know. It's straight out of a 50s sitcom.
You know, Mike Francesa had a Diet Coke, and I have a Diet Mountain Dew or two.
Let me tell you what Jose Altuve did while I drink a nice sip of this cold, refreshing Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew. Keep your heart rate up.
Here's what happened when Jose Altuve got himself some Mountain Dew.
I think that was close to 8 seconds.
Close, right?
Yeah, it has to be. That's a pretty good job.
Jose Altuve. Mountain Dew. So home run!
I guess Altuve broke out of the slump, huh?
I'd say he probably not worried about Jose Altuve right now. Probably feel a little good about Jose Altuve right now. Pair of bombs and 3 at-bats?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, obviously there was concerns about having your pitchers in the World Baseball Classic, and obviously I'm glad that guys like Fromber dropped out, but I think that we had this conversation last week about Tucker. I think it might turn out to be a good thing for the hitters. Get them going a little bit earlier, maybe avoid that early season slump.
And for Tuck, that's a big deal. Now, Luis Garcia is also pitching in the WBC, but I don't think he pitched today. Jeremy Pena played today for the Dominican Republic. And Jeremy Pena, who was off to a very slow start and did not walk at any point in the spring up through the WBC. Would you like to know what Jeremy Pena did today? He was 1-for-2 when he came in halfway through the game in relief of Gene Segura. And Pena playing second base. But he went 1-for-2. He had a base knock. And let's not forget Kyle Tucker playing for the old U.S. of A. As Team USA beat the Halos 6-0. Kyle Tucker was 1-for-3. And, you might not believe this, but Kyle Tucker, let's see, where is he in the lineup? Third, four, five, six. Kyle Tucker batting last. Kyle Tucker batting last for Team USA. That's a pretty full lineup. Got some calls on the board. You can get in 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to your calls next.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776, 737-780-ESPN. Travis, you're on Late Hits. What's up, Trav?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, brother. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. I got the number 2 pick in the fantasy draft. 10 players in the league. I'm thinking about taking Kyle Tucker with the second pick. I know the first guy is taking Trey Turner, and it's like a 9-by-9 league. What do you think about that? With the shift on or no longer on, I think Tucker's going to have an amazing year.
Can I ask, is this a roto or a points league?
What's that?
Is it a roto league or is it a head-to-head league?
Is it a points league?
It's head-to-head.
Okay. And look, would I take Kyle Tucker 2 overall? The nicest way I can say this is, hell no! Now, I'm not trying to bag on Kyle Tucker, who I think is a very good player and gives you a little more value in fantasy because of the stolen bases. And
that's why he asked the Roto question, because he's more valuable in Roto with the stolen bases. In points categories, the steals don't really matter.
But if we're talking about outfielders, there's a guy named Aaron Judge you might want to consider over Kyle Tucker. Just little friendly advice.
He strikes out a lot. He gets home runs. Yes, he gets RBIs. But I'm talking about 9x9 league.
If you're worried about how many times did Aaron Judge strike out, and that's preventing you from taking a guy who had an 11 WAR.
Are strikes counted against in this league?
What's that?
Are strikeouts because I know you said it wasn't a points league, and strikeouts are negative points in points league. But if it's a motor league, strikeouts are one of your categories.
It's not negative points, but yes, strikeouts is one of the categories.
I would say if I had the number two pick, and I would even maybe take this guy number one, but I would take Jose Ramirez, because not only is he a guy that gets you power, he hits for average, he gets you steals, but the third base position is not very deep. It is a very, very shallow position, maybe the second most shallow behind second base. So. If Trey Turner goes one, I think I go Jose Ramirez too. And
another reason to consider Aaron Judge is he should qualify for center field, which is a positional that's positional scarcity.
Yeah, it depends
big
on the league.
Outfielders,
a lot of leagues
center
just
fielders.
Do outfield.
But if your league breaks down left field, center field, right field, Aaron Judge has even more value because he'll qualify at center field.
No, it's strictly outfield. But I'm talking. Tucker will have his average up to probably 280, 290, I would think.
Yeah, you're pushing it.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to remember, they're not going to have outfielders. They're not going to have infielders playing outfield anymore. But you're still going to have the second baseman in the hole, and you're still going to have the shortstop one step from second base.
And let's be honest, we've already seen the Red Sox do this in spring training. As Jurassic Park told us, life finds a way. I saw a team, I think they were playing against, I think it was against Joey Gallo that they were doing this against, but they moved the left fielder all the way over to basically where the second baseman was playing in shallow right in previous years, and basically in the exact same alignment in a shift, but beating the shift rules by moving the left fielder over into shallow right field.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that yet. Okay, so Jose Ramirez.
Yes, the Red Sox have actually done the one field in the outfield, because the shift rules only apply to infielders. They don't apply to outfielders yet.
Yeah, and I have a feeling baseball will adjust, because the Red Sox have already found out a way to beat it, but they just spread out the two outfielders and put the left fielder in shallow right where that second baseman would have been in previous years.
But if you're looking at Kyle Tucker from the 30 homers, 20 steals department, like BMAC said, at third base, Jose Ramirez, 29 homers, 20 stolen bases. He also had the most RBI by any third baseman by like 20.
His third base is so shallow.
It's
five
Arenado,
players.
It's Machado, it's Austin Riley, it's Jose Ramirez, then there's a break, then it's Bregman, and Devers.
It's a very shallow position.
Yeah. Great, guys. Hey, I appreciate your input, man. I'll definitely take that into consideration.
No problem, man. Appreciate the call. So,
take care, guys.
That is our very first fantasy baseball call of the season.
Yeah, I could do that all day. I really dig that stuff. I do think, and it was the reason why I asked the caller if it was Roto or points. If it's points, then Kyle Tucker's value takes a massive drop, because then everything you do gets just thrown into the bucket of how many points you scored. It doesn't matter how they come, so steals really don't matter in comparison to anything else. But if it's a Roto league, then Kyle Tucker, I do think, sneaks into the second round. Maybe early second round, maybe late first round. But definitely not at number two.
No, not at two. But I think Kyle Tucker, who is probably a top eight outfielder.
Easily. Yeah, I would maybe even say top five.
Let's say between five and eight. If Kyle Tucker's between five and eight as an outfielder, you're going to have your top two catchers, your top three third baseman, your top three shortstop, like your top three starting pitchers, you're probably talking about a late second to third round pick.
I would take him easily in the second round. I wouldn't wait that long. Like, catchers just kind of become to me, like, a lot of times tight end is in football, and I just punt on it. Because after you get past the first two or three guys, it doesn't really matter. So I do think Tucker, because outfield, while it's not as shallow as second base or third base, it is fairly shallow as well. And especially since a lot of leagues are doing like the five outfielder thing, I think a guy like Tucker's value and ADP in that situation goes way up.
Just have a little fun with me here for a second, right? How many catchers do you think last season, on top of your head, had 20 homers?
Well, I know Wilson Contreras did because I have him on my fantasy team. I don't think JT Realmuto got there, right? I don't think he got there.
He did. He got there.
Oh, he did get there? Okay. I'm guessing Salvador Perez didn't because he was hurt most of the year.
He did, actually.
Oh, he did? He's still even in a hurt year? Is there anybody else after that? I don't think Sean Murphy did. I think he was in the teens.
Murphy had 18.
18, okay. That. Yeah, so I'm guessing there's probably a name or two I'm forgetting, so I'd guess it's probably five.
Close, it's six.
Okay.
JT Realmuto had 22. Will Smith had 24. Wilson Contreras had 22. Big Dumper Cal Raleigh had 27.
Oh, yeah. He had like 211, but he had a bunch of home runs.
He literally hit 211.
Oh, he literally hit 211.
Yes.
Okay,
good call, B-Mac. Nice. William Contreras in Atlanta hit 20. And Salvador Perez had 23. Those are your catchers. So more catchers than usual for 20 homers, especially when you consider this year, like Adley Rutschman only played 113 games.
He would probably move into that group.
Danny Jansen had 15 homers in 72 games.
Yeah, he plays for the Blue Jays, right?
Right.
Yeah, I know last year they had like three catchers there playing, so it would just depend on how much they split that group up if any of those guys can get to 20.
William Contreras had 20 in 97 games.
I like him a lot this year because he gets moved to the Cardinals, and one of the big things he's had, like he's had other, in his last three full seasons, if you take out the 2020 pandemic year, he's been over 20 home runs in each of his last three full seasons, but his RBI totals were always low. But now he gets moves to the Cardinals. Hopefully he's hitting behind Arenado and Goldschmidt, and then his RBI chances go way up.
So, more fun with numbers, right, before we hit the break. How many home runs do you think Gary Sanchez had for the Twinkies last year?
Gosh. I mean, he was always the classic guy that hit like 205, but he would find a way to get, you know, 25, 30 home runs. I don't think he got over 30. Obviously, he didn't even get over 20 because he wasn't on that list you gave me. So let's go with 11.
Gary Sanchez, 128 games, 419 at bats, 205 average.
Yeah, there it is, 205.
16 homers.
Okay, so I was close.
282 on base.
Oh God, yeah, he's
now listen to these numbers from somebody that you know. 113 games. 344 at bats, so almost 80 at bats less.
Right.
186 average, 15 homers.
I already know who this is.
248
on
base.
That is Machete.
That is Martin Maldonado. Yeah.
Gary Sanchez is a wasted pick, as that illustrates.
Just, it's crazy to me that Gary Sanchez, who once upon a time was supposed to be this star 30 home run hitting catcher perennial. He did have like one good season. It did happen. Once upon a time, he had a good season. He had 33 home runs in 2017. Do you know what the Yankees were doing in 2017?
Stealing the Apple
signs.
Yeah, using it something. But I mean, we saw Kyle Schwarber started off as a catcher who I think struggled to find consistency, and eventually he was able to transition to a new position. Still hits for low average, but I think he's been an approved hitter now that he's outside the catcher position. I don't think Gary Sanchez is athletic enough to play the outfield, but maybe a position change or just the aging would help him out some.
Well, just check out these numbers, right? 2016, 53 games. Gary Sanchez hit .299 with 20 homers and had a .1032 OPS.
That's a fantastic year, yeah.
2017, he played 122 games, 33 homers, .278 average, .876 OPS.
Great year again.
2018, 89 games, 18 homers, .186 average, .697 OPS.
So you're saying when the sign stealing would have dropped off?
Well, the next year
seems to coincide with that.
2019, he rebounds some, right? 106 games, 34 homers, .232 average, but .841 OPS. 2020, where the whole sign stealing thing really breaks down, he hit .147. 2021, he hit .204.
So you're saying he got Marwind?
He absolutely got Marwind.
Yeah, sounds like
he got Bellingered.
That too. Yeah, we know the Dodgers were stealing.
All of a sudden, oh, we can't steal signs anymore. Hey guys, somebody gave me the Monstars ball and I touched it, and now I have no skills.
Is that a Space Jam reference?
That is a Space Jam
reference. Okay, we need to go to break. If we're making first, Space Jam references, we need to go to break.
But it's the first Space Jam, because the second one, I would recommend not watching.
Yeah, I never saw it on purpose.
You did not miss a thing. It sucked. Late hits.